week and we asked ourselves the question, am I a baby Christian? I hope and trust that you walked away with the reality that you are not a baby Christian. And yet, I hope that if you walked away with the reality that you are a baby Christian, that you will let God change you and grow you into that mature Christian that He wants you to be. This morning, though, whether you're a baby Christian or whether you have been saved for a long time and you are an adult Christian in your behavior, I believe that God wants us all to be usable Christians. Paul is saying, even to these believers at Corinth, that were struggling with being baby Christians, that they could be usable Christians. And this morning, I want us to look at that and ask ourselves, am I a usable Christian? Last week when we asked ourselves, am I a baby Christian, we asked if we listen like a baby, if we eat like a baby, if we act like a baby. Now today, I have 3 points to my message, each of which are exactly the same. Except for we'll emphasize a different word. Number one, we'll look at remembering that God uses people. Number two, we'll look at remember that God uses people. And number three, we'll remember that God uses people. But we'll look at some different aspects to that as Paul points out to this church at Corinth that it is all about God using people. It's not about Paul. It's not about Apollos. It's not about all these other human leaders. Though God uses people, it's all ultimately about God. And if this week you and I want God to be glorified in our lives, it's not about us and what we can do for BLC or sharing the gospel or here at church or investing in other people in our family or in the community, but it's all about God using us this week and making a difference. This morning, before we get into the Word, before we pray, I want to give you just a moment to pray. God, would you speak to me? Would you challenge me? Would you help me this week to be usable? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and take a moment. God, would you help me to be challenged so that this week I am usable? Father, we do thank you for your love. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather around your word. God, I pray that you would indeed speak to our hearts, that this week we would be challenged to be usable Christians. Not just to go through life and come to another Sunday, but that indeed we would be usable, that you would mold us into your image and use us for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 really is a verse that keeps coming back to my mind. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We are laborers together with God. We aren't just laborers together with each other. We aren't just laborers together here at Jerusalem Baptist Church or with others who are saved as we share the gospel. We are laborers together with God. It's all about God using me. Now, I do need to be faithful, but it's about God using me. In this passage, the Apostle Paul gives the analogy of a farmer. Someone who plants. Now, some of you enjoy planting crops. How many of you enjoy your garden? How many of you hate your garden? Man, there's the reality that there are multiple different emotions that gardens can bring up in our hearts and our minds. In order to have a garden, we must plant seeds. And if the rain doesn't come down, we must water it. And when the weeds grow up, we must pick them so they don't choke out the seed. And when the fruit comes, we must harvest it. Gardening takes work. But ultimately, all the work that you and I can do in a garden doesn't accomplish anything if God doesn't bring the increase. Man, we can take care of our plants or our trees. We can do the best that we can. But if God does not allow them to bear fruit, if God doesn't work and order the natural law that He has set in place,
they won't produce fruit. I remember as a kid, man, we lived out in Iowa and my dad had a huge garden. He loved his garden. One of the things that stuck out in my mind was the tall corn that dad would always grow. Iowa known for growing corn. Man, we had some great sweet corn, tons of stalks of sweet corn. And dad would plant all sorts of other vegetables and enjoyed the garden. I remember one summer I was in 4-H. How many of you were in 4-H as a kid? Number of you were in 4-H, know what that's about. And man, I remember being in 4-H and I had some different projects I did. But that year, one of the projects I did was my garden. I don't remember what all that I planted, but I remember the process. In order to turn in my garden, what I did is I took pictures throughout the year and I kind of documented the project. When it came to the end of that year, I had potatoes. At least I thought I did. I had potato plants. And I dug for my potatoes and I couldn't find them. Now, it could have been that I really didn't want them. I don't know. But I did try to find potatoes and I finally gave up because I could not find potatoes in the ground anywhere. Now, I planted and I weeded. I don't remember if I had to water it all that year or the rain came pretty good. But man, I worked and I didn't get any potatoes from it. Now, I've got pictures to show I had that garden. In fact, if you came to my house, I can show you those pictures today. But beyond that, it's up to God. And when it comes to spiritual fruit, you and I can work, but it's up to God to use us and work through us. It's up to God to work in other people's hearts and lives. There are two kinds of people. There are saved and there are unsaved. And those who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior need to be saved. But you and I can share the gospel. In fact, on Sunday evenings, we challenge our kids and we challenge ourselves that we need to be faithful with sharing the gospel. We can share the gospel with other people, but it's not up to me to make sure they get saved. There are some out there who believe that you must twist their arm to make them pray a prayer to get saved. Well, I can't make anybody get saved. It is not up to me. Ultimately, it's God that gives the increase. I don't think that's necessarily some of their desires, but man, sometimes that's how it seems, is anything to make them pray a prayer. But it's not the prayer, it's them putting their faith in Christ, understanding their need of a Savior. The reality is, Paul says, I'm nobody, and neither is Apollos. When he asks in this passage, who is Paul, do you think he knows who he is? Since he wrote that question, yeah. But he's realizing that he's a nobody. Kind of like you and me, right? And the reality, we're nobodies. You know, sometimes we think we're pretty big in certain areas. You know, people know me or they know my name. Or, man, I've been in this area for years and they know this name. And, you know, it's been interesting coming to the Stockbridge area and learning this name. And, man, if I mention this name, people, oh, man, I know that name. That's been around forever in this area. Or people recognize that. Or, you know, it doesn't matter who I talk to, but they know Bob Castle. I mean, I'll talk to a gas station attendant at Mug and Bob's after midnight, and they know Bob Castle. I mean, it doesn't matter. Now, that's a blessing. And yet, in another sense, who is Bob Castle? He's a nobody. But he's a usable person for God. And that's who Paul is saying here in this passage. Humanly speaking, that's where all of us are. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, who is Paul? I'm a nobody. But, he says, I'm a minister of God. And you know, that is what I'm thankful that Pastor Bob is known for. Everybody who knows Bob Castle has heard of Jeruel Baptist Church. Or they've heard of the ministry that Pastor Bob has had in our area. And that's been his burden through the years. And that's what it needs to be for you and me. Not that we build some reputation and name that here I am. But God, would you use me to point others to you? God, would you use me this week? Number one, remember that God uses, and I put this word in bold, people. Remember that God uses people. Now, God used angels. In fact, angels, they literally are messengers of God. But he used angels on a few different occasions to share the message. Jesus came. When Jesus was born, the angels came to the shepherds. And the angels told who? The shepherds. But it was left up to the shepherds to tell the rest of the people. God used angels, but He uses people. And He uses you and He uses me. The nobodies in this world to share the truth of God's love. God uses people. It's interesting as I think about that in light of myself. I wrote this thought down. I have a unique and an important task. You have a unique and an important task. See, it's interesting as we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. Paul said, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" He's pointing out a couple different ministers here. Very next verse he says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." When I stop to realize that God uses people, I can stop and remember that I have a unique and an important task from God. Paul was important to this church at Corinth. So was Apollos. In fact, in another passage we can see, so was Cephas. People are fighting over all these leaders that they follow, but the reality is God used each one of them in their unique and special way. And you have your unique and special calling of God on your life right here to be faithful. Are you usable? Are you acknowledging the truth about who you are? You are special. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, and that's you, believeth in Him should not perish but should have everlasting life. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, God has given you a unique and a special task. Are you fulfilling it? God uses people. He wants to use you. Spiritually, God uses different people. Here we see Paul and we see Apollos. It was very interesting. People were arguing over the leader that they were to follow. Now, maybe I'm just blind to it, but I don't think we have that here. Well, I was here under Pastor Bob, and so, man, I won't listen to Pastor Josh or whatever. I don't see that, and man, I praise the Lord for that. I'm so thankful for Jerusalem Baptist Church. But here, I find it interesting. That's not the point that people were arguing over which leader they were going to follow. And they were, and Paul says you're carnal for that. But what I find is interesting, it started that each person connected with a different leader in a different way. Don't you see that in your lives? You connect with a certain leader in your life, a certain spiritual leader. Maybe it's your Sunday school teacher. There's just a special bond you have. Maybe it's someone else here in the church that you just look up to, and man, there's a special bond that you have built and connected with that person. Is that wrong? Of course not, because God has called each of us to a unique and a special task. And I must be faithful in that. And part of that means I'm going to connect differently with some of you than with other of you. Not because I want to or because I don't want to connect with them or I don't want to connect with it. No, the reality is we all connect differently. God gives us all different personalities. And in a body, we function together. In fact, He talks about that later in this passage. But even in chapter 12, He talks about the reality of the body of Christ. And we're all members of one body. God uses people, and God wants to use you here at Jerusalem Baptist Church. You might say, well, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not the pastor. I'm not up front in some kind of visible leadership. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a usher. I'm not a whatever. The role doesn't as matter as much as are you fulfilling that unique and special task God has called you to fulfill here? Who are you connecting with? Who are you leading? Who are you investing in? Paul said, God uses people. God used me while I was there. God used Apollos while he was there. God used Cephas or Peter. He said, but it got to the point where you guys were fighting over these leaders. That wasn't the point. God wants to use multiple leaders. And that's the same here. God wants to use multiple leaders. Not just me as pastor. He wants to use you. In fact, I find it very interesting as Paul talks about this truth that God uses people, and he realized that he himself had a unique and an important task. He also realized that others have unique and important tasks. He talks about that in verse number 5. Here he's asking this very question. Who then is, what's that first name? Paul. He said, guys, who am I? I'm nobody, but I'm a minister. He said, who's Apollos? He says, guys, this isn't a competition about which leader I'm going to follow. It's not a competition about which person I connect the best with. It's, am I usable? God has unique and a special task, not just for me, but for everyone else in the church. Are you a usable Christian here at Jerusalem Baptist Church? It might be teaching a class. It might be in another visible area of what we would call ministry. But it might not be. That doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. In fact, Paul says each of us has a unique and important task. He says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. Remember, it's about Christ. Who did you believe in? Christ. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Others have unique and important tasks. Later in this passage, he mentions what some of those tasks are. Verse 6, I have what? Planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. All of our tasks are under the authority and power of God. And it's only God who gives the victory, and God who brings the growth, and God who brings the change. If anything good happens at Jerusalem Baptist Church, it's not because of Pastor Josh. And all the good that has happened at Jerusalem Baptist Church and how God has used Jerusalem Baptist Church over the many years of its existence is not because of Pastor Bob. It's because God used Pastor Bob, and God used you. The question is this week, am I a usable Christian? God uses people. Not just the spiritual leaders that we would look up to, but each of us has a unique and important task. Some of them do it differently. The Apostle Paul compared himself with Apollos in another passage. He said, I'm not eloquent in speech like Apollos was. Apollos was a gifted orator. You know, there are some people who you just love listening to because they speak so smoothly and so clearly, and man, they just connect with your ear. And then there are others who aren't as smooth and clear, or they just don't connect that same way. But does that mean God wants to use them any less? No, Paul said that there are different people with different personalities that bring about different relationships. Ultimately, it's all so that they would believe in Christ. God gave the increase. Some connect with different groups. In a church our size, can I as pastor efficiently and effectively connect with everybody on the same level to help everybody grow spiritually? Yes or no? No. I can't. Man, I can try. I can invest in. Man, I want to build relationships. I love you. We are so thrilled that God has called us to Jerusalem Baptist Church. And I've shared it before. Man, this is home. Sure, I was at Faith Baptist Church in Muskegon for over 20 years. There is not home at that church for me anymore. I mean, it's incredible to watch how God drew our hearts from there, even while we were there near the end. We knew He was leading us on. This is home, and we are thrilled to be here. But effectively, I need each of you just as much as Jerusalem needs me. It's not about me. It's about us as a church being usable for God. This is God's church at Munith. Are you usable? Will you be usable? God uses people. God uses people. Paul said, don't be carnal in your comparisons. I'm not used like that person. I'm not seen like that person. Carnal, fleshly, we talked about that last week as we dealt with, am I a baby Christian? The reality is, Paul says, I really shouldn't think that I'm more important than I really am. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Paul is challenging this church family here to be careful how they're comparing themselves, to be careful how they compare their leaders. Yes, God wanted to use the leaders in their lives. God used his people. But he didn't want them to connect to them in a certain level that, man, it's only that person. That person only can be the spiritual influence in my life. He said each has a unique and important task. So as we looked at 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, and our thoughts, there's two ways this can go. One, I can't think of myself in a greater way than I really am. Oh man, Jeruel would die if it weren't for me. Some of us can easily think that. Man, what would happen if I wasn't at church? Oh, they just fall apart. My prayer and hope is that if I were to die today, Jeruel would go on stronger than it was over this last year that I've been here. The reality is it shouldn't be me holding Jeruel Baptist Church together. It's all about God. And so here we see the same truth. I can't think myself, or you can't think yourself, higher than we really are. But it also goes the same on the opposite end. Don't think yourself less than what you are. You have a unique and important task here. And don't think, well, I'm not that way, so I can't do anything. I won't do anything. No, you have a unique and important task here at Jeruel. God uses what? People. And you and I are people. God wants to use us this week. Aren't you thankful? God uses people. But as we study this passage in 1 Corinthians 3, I'm not just reminded that God uses people. I'm reminded that God uses people. God uses people. It's not just that people are important to the role. It's not just important that I must do my task, but God wants to use me. Maybe you think back to a time when you were at school and maybe you could think of that certain student was the teacher's pet. Or maybe you can think of that certain student who, man, why are they always up there wiping off the blackboard? Some of you are back in the blackboard days. Some of you are like, what's a blackboard? But you know, they get to help the teacher with this, or they get to help with that, or they do this. The reality is, they were being used by the teacher to help in the class. And as you and I serve here at Jeruel, whether it's in a public ministry forum and setting, or whether it's as I go through life every day, God uses me. As a Sunday school teacher, it's not just enough for me to come and say a bunch of words and be done. I want God to use me. As your pastor, it's not enough for me to get up and waste your time so you can listen to something. But I want God to use me. But it shouldn't just be in these upfront type of ministries that we want God to use us. See, Paul reminds us in this passage that God uses people. Because look what he says in verse number 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But what? Ministers. We are each ministers. This word for minister really means an attendant, a servant, a waiter at a table or other menial task. That definition sounds like another definition of a word we hear in the Bible. Deacon. In fact, the word deacon and this word for minister are taken from the same Greek word, minister. The role of our deacon here is not some high special servant leader. In fact, in a real sense, our deacons are servants. To serve. Not just to be leaders in the church. And the real sense is a pastor. What do we call pastors often? A lot of times our world will refer to a pastor as a minister. But the reality is Paul says that each of us are ministers. It doesn't matter your role at your Jeruel Baptist Church. You are a minister for Christ. God wants to use you. We are each ministers. We each have different tasks. How many of you wish you could play the piano like Joanne? Man, I mean, what a great thing. What a blessing. But God didn't call you to play the piano like Joanne. Man, you know, we can look at so many other people and say, man, I wish I could do that like them. Or I wish I could do that like them. Or God, why don't you let me do that like that person? Why don't you let me speak like that person? Or man, I wish I could work with kids like that person. Are you being used by God in the unique and special task He has called you to do? Not that He's called someone else to do. God uses people. And He wants to use you. We each have a unique and a special task. Remember Paul and Apollos, they both were leaders and they had specific roles. They were there at different times. But the reality is they were simply ministers who had unique task among the people. But Paul goes on later in this book and goes to chapter 12 and says, we are one body but many parts. He said each of us has a unique task. He says in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. There's unique tasks. Paul really planted the seed. Pastor Schultz. And he was only here a couple years. Nothing like Pastor Bob. Wait a second. He was a unique minister who had a unique task. He planted seeds. God used Pastor Schultz to plant seeds. God used Pastor Bob to plant seeds. But you know what? Pastor Bob had the privilege of watering a lot of seeds that Pastor Schultz had planted. Pastor Bob has told me some of the stories about Pastor Schultz. What a blessing to have a man like that come to this area and plant a church. That didn't make Pastor Schultz any less of a man just because he was a big planter. Because ultimately it's about God who uses the people. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. He says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? One. Can we see the reality of this in 1 Corinthians 12? We are part of one body. Here at your rule, it's not about one person. It's not about Pastor Josh. It's not about whoever. It's about God. Remember how Paul starts off this letter to the church at Corinth? To the church of God, which is at Corinth. And we are the church of God, which is at Munich. And God wants to use each of us. Are you usable this week? Is God going to use you this week? Are you tender to that task that God wants you to do? Or are you just stuck up on the idea that you're not everything that you wished you could be like that person or the other person? You don't get to do what you want to do. Wait a second. As I yield my heart to God, He uses me where He has put me. There's the old song that says, brighten the corner. Where you are, God wants to use you where you are. And the task He's called you to do for a reason. We don't always understand that. But oh, what a Savior that He would use me where I am. He wants to use me with the unique task He's called me to do. To plant, water, all of the other tasks that He's called me to do. God uses people. We're each ministers. We each have tasks. But He goes on in this passage and says, we are each rewarded. We are each rewarded. Incredible to think about that. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own what? Reward according to his own labor. What is a reward? A definition for reward is a payment for service or wages. Specifically here, referring to divine wages, either for good or for bad. Another Greek word that we see for this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Paul's writing to those who are already saved. as you and I fulfill our unique task, He has called us to. Not that I fulfill the task God wants someone else to do because I think it needs to be done and I'm going to do it this way because, man, I could do it a lot better than that person. But when God uses me and the role that He's called me to serve, He rewards me. There is reward. Verse 8. And how many men, how many people, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Are you laboring in the task that God has called you to labor in? You have a task. Are you doing it? Maybe it's really spending a bunch of time in prayer for our church, for our community. Maybe it's picking up the phone and calling and encouraging someone or jotting a note and sending a letter. Maybe it's reaching out to that person that you just have a special bond and connection to and really trying to help them. Maybe it's with a Bible study you're holding with someone or you're able to hold with someone. Maybe it is in what we would call a public ministry opportunity, whether it's in the nursery or in a Sunday school teacher position or in a BLC worker position. But God has called each of us to a unique task, and He will reward me for the task He's called me to do. Will I be faithful and let Him use me where He has put me? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. We'll get into this, Lord willing, next week. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. The very last part of verse 9 says, we are God's building. And so then we get into this whole foundation and a building and whatnot. God wants to reward me for living for who? Him. That means I am usable. It's not about me. It's not about me building a name for me. It's about God. Am I usable? Am I fulfilling the task that God has placed me here for? You know, we think about our missionaries of the week. Dwayne Bucher. Maybe some of you would love to go to Spain. Well, God didn't call you there. Will you be faithful in Stockbridge and Munich and Gregory and Waterloo Township, Fitchburg, wherever you live? Maybe it's Mexico. Man, as we read about our missionaries in Mexico, the Wallaces, one of our other missionaries went down and served with them for a little bit. Joe Marshall with the Sign Ministry. Maybe it is a short-term missions trip that God would call you to go on. Well, will you go? Will you be faithful? God wants to use you, and He will reward you as you faithfully serve Him according to your own labor. Remember that God uses people. Number two, remember that God uses people. But ultimately, remember that God uses people. It's all about God. It's not just about me doing some task in this social club, because we are not a social club. We are the Church of God at Munich. It's not just about me being faithful with the task that I need to do, that I'm called to do. And so God wants to use me. But ultimately, I must remember it is God which worketh in me. It is God that works through me. It's the love of Christ that constrains me. It's God who changes me into His image. God. Remember, it is God that uses people. It's God's power. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with who? God. Now remember, Paul's talking about other people in this passage. He reminds us that God uses people. Here we saw specifically Paul and Apollos. Everyone at the church had responsibility. They were rewarded according to their own labor. But he says, ultimately, we are laborers together with God. Now that's an awesome thought. God doesn't need me. Does He need you? Sometimes we live like that. Man. Again, it'll fall apart if it's not about me. Now the reality is, God doesn't need me, but He sure wants to use me. And it's all about Him using me. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it's all about God who did it all. And yet God uses us, as Paul said in verse 5, we are ministers by whom ye believed. See, in verse 9, we are laborers together with God. It's about God's power. We're fellow laborers. Again, we'll get to 1 Corinthians 12 in our study. We labor together. We think about our body. It labors. All of its members labor together. How many of you enjoy running or some other kind of exercise? Maybe it's biking or something else. Man, some of you really, you enjoy that and you work together. You know, your big toe makes a difference in how you can run, doesn't it? Really, cut it off and try without it. I mean, it makes a big difference. I know a man who chopped off his toe, not on purpose, but with his lawnmower, his big toe, and it makes a difference in how he balanced. He had to, in a sense, relearn how to balance his body. All of our members work together. And as a church body here, we work together. God, through God's power. It's not just about us functioning. We don't want to be some other organization who functions well. There are enough organizations around Stockbridge area. And they have good causes. But I don't want to be some other organization. I want to be part of God's working here. God, power through me. When you had a special project for school and you were assigned partners, maybe you looked back at the certain student and said, oh man, I hope I get partnered with so-and-so because they're smart. Or I hope I get partnered with so-and-so because they can talk in front of people and I wouldn't have to do that. Or I hope I get partnered with that person because they're nice. They're cool. They're popular. You and I have been partnered together with God. Now that tops any partnership. Because you and I don't even deserve that kind of partnership. God uses me. It's God's power at work in and through my life. It is God's responsibility. He assigns the workers. Again, he says in verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. God calls each of us to a different task. Are you faithful? It's God that assigns the responsibility and the working. That doesn't mean the toe is less important than the nose. It doesn't mean that the mouth is more important than the ear. So some people think that, right? The reality is each member of our body is important. And our body does suffer without the other members functioning. Now we know that those who have been born blind, some of their other senses help to pick up some of that lack, and maybe they've really developed their hearing or their feeling. But the reality is a body of Christ here at Jeruel Baptist Church. We need each of us, but we need God's power to work through us. Because it's God's responsibility as He assigns tasks. It's God's power, and ultimately it's God's work. It's all about Him. Because verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. This year here at Jeruel Baptist Church, if we want to see people get saved, we must be faithful. God wants to use people. God wants to use us. But it's all about God doing the work in hearts. He gives the increase. You and I must share the gospel. Is that a command that we've been given? Yes. But God has to do the work. God wants to work. He gives the increase. This word increase means to make grow or enlarge. If you've talked with Norm at all this spring, and I know he's not able to be with us today, but man, he's talked about his greenhouse and how he's planted some of his plants and gotten them to grow, and man, he enjoys that, and he watches them grow, but he realizes he can only do so much. We can do the work, but if it's not through God's power and with God's strength, what gets accomplished? God gives the increase. See, at the end of verse 9, he says, Paul says, ye are God's husbandry. This word husbandry literally means a field for farming. That's what we are. So it's up to God to do that work in us. And then he goes on and says, ye are God's building, architecture. God has put us together. Are we going to be usable for him? The greater question is, will I be usable for him? That's what we started with this morning. Am I usable, Christian? Am I usable for God this week? Will I be a usable Christian? Or will I just be someone who goes to Jeruel Baptist Church? I don't want to be someone who goes to Jeruel Baptist Church, and that's just where I go. I want to be someone who goes to Jeruel Baptist Church and is a usable Christian for God. So are you usable this week? Will you let God use people? You? Will you let God use you? But ultimately, it's all about God doing the work.